Very good morning to all of you, and it's a privilege to be here to bring God's message. And before that, I would like to just share a praise report from Cool Kids Ministry. And they had just had a birthday party. This is a monthly event to reach out to pre-believers and pre-believing families and children. And February birthday report, they have 57 people attending, 8 newcomers, children, and they have 10 salvations. Amen. Yeah, so do give them a support. Their next birthday party is on the 14th of April, which is happened to be my birthday. sorry. Okay, it just happened to be at that kind of time. Yeah, so they. All right. God is doing exciting thing in our church. Amen. And I believe that we are to get involved and get engaged in what God is doing in our midst and participate in this kingdom work and kingdom assignment. And today, my sermon entitles the Jerubbabel assignment and God's relentless building project. Right? His building project is more than just bricks and mortars, but on people. His heart is for the people, for the lost. What do I mean by this? And today, what I'm going to share is from this book called Haggai. How many of you have read the book Haggai? Okay, that's good. It's more than yesterday's service. Praise the Lord. All right. And and I believe if you have read the book, I think this will help. And today, I just want to share that, you know, the building of Zerubbabel's temple is very unique and is rich in expressing God's vision in his own historic timing and setting. And this building was foretold by Zechariah and, of course, by Haggai. And these two prophets spur and encourage the people of God to complete the building project. And though this work is done 2,000 years ago, more than 2,000 years ago, it holds much significance and implications for us today. And we're just going to look at three key significance of this momentous building project. First and foremost is behind the calls to the building, from mortars to mortals. You know, to call for rebuilding stems from God's relentless vision of dwelling among his people. Right? God longs to dwell and walk with people. And from the time of Moses, the tabernacle of Moses, all the way to the temple of Solomon, God's vision continue unabated. And the rebuilding of this temple it renews this vision. And behind that call to the rebuilding is invitation, right, for the people to renew their relationship with God. This is a call to return to that relationship of acknowledging and worshiping God as their Yahweh. And beneath the floors of the building, and from the Solomon's temple to David's lineage, what is that about? You know, the temple of Zerubbabel lies upon the site of the temple. Right? It's where the temple of Solomon was originally located, but it was leveled and destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And the building of the temple of Solomon is actually based on David's covenant with God. And Solomon built that temple. So, but out of that promise, God's kingdom was established. And David's descendant, God said to David that he will reign in glory and for eternity. Of course, God was referring to Jesus. Right? So upon the renewal of this relationship with God, the people will be able to walk into the covenantal promises of God. And thirdly, beyond the walls of the building, the walls around the temple is a symbol and a sign of God's protection and his safety and the safety of God's people. And the completion of the wall was done with the inspiration and provision of his Spirit. And the success became a witness to Israel's surrounding enemies that God was indeed with his people. So the task of completing the building, the building of the temple, serves as an important witness of Israel to the world as God's nation and his chosen people. Let's go a little bit more into it, right? So behind the calls to the building, the call to return, right? So in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3, it says that, "Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you." So behind the call to rebuild, it's actually God's call for his people to return to him, to re-engage with him, to realign with him. And Zechariah's preemptive words reveal God's longing for his people to return in these three ways and three steps. First is to return to his worship, right? The temple is a place of worship. And the call to return is a call to worship him as Yahweh. And it's a sign that God has not forgotten them and what desires to dwell in their midst. So it's a divine urging for God, for his people to return to that lordship and acknowledge Yahweh as their God. So in Haggai chapter 1 verse 12, it says that, "Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, Joshua the son of Jehozadak, and with all the remnant of people obey the voice of God." Right? They obey God's voice. They acknowledge that Yahweh is king. And the words of Haggai as a prophet, and the people fear the Lord. Right? So God, the people, you know, God's presence fall into them and they fear God. They respond to the Lord's presence with reverence, with fear. And that is a true worship. And our hearts relate with God rightly as who he is. Right? And true worship precedes true kingdom work. Right, so the return to worship will be followed by the return to his work, right? Because the rebuilding project by Zerubbabel, it was not without challenges. It was actually suspended for a period of time because of opposition from within and from without. And when Haggai came into the picture, right, God used Haggai to speak to them, to address them at where they are. You know, Haggai was addressing a bunch of people who has already given up the building project. Right? They were busy doing their own thing and they are caring for their families, their livelihood. And when God entered the scene, God spoke to their misplaced priorities. So you guys are, like he's saying that you guys are building your own houses. How about my house? How about my house of worship? What happened to it? Why are you not putting that into your priorities, into your schedules? Right? So once the people's heart will address, their priorities, adjustment follows, and God empower them to complete their building project. And you can see that, more than that, when Zerubbabel obeyed God's voice, when he pursued the task of completion of the temple, he ended up in the center of God's will. Right? He ended up in David's lineage. And God revealed to him that he has been chosen for such a time as this, you know, to do his will, completing the task that will echo for eternity. You know, he fulfilled that significant milestone in God's eternal vision of building his kingdom. You know, I can't help but remember the initial years when I wanted to serve God, and there's this inkling of walking with the Lord and what is God's will for my life. And it was about the year of 1999 to 2000. And that during that time, before long, as I pursue, I realized that there's two wills fighting in my heart. And one is God's will, one is my will. You know, so there's always a tug of war. And I realized that if I want to serve God, I can't have my own will. You know, still reigning, still wanting to have my own way. And because of, if not, I would be struggling, right? So during that period, it was an invitation for God for me to return to his worship, right? And to worship him. Right? And through that worship, through that enthroning of God in my life, I received that grace to surrender. I received that grace to put him first. It's not easy, right? But God gives us grace. And after that, you know, I settled comfortably in as a social worker for about 1-2 years. And God prompted me again to return to His work. Right? So after the return to His worship, putting Him right, priority, and putting Him at the center, then God prompted, it's time to return to His work. And then, with all the reservations and the usual reasoning and bargaining, but in the end, God say, if God is God, if God is my Lord, then I have to obey. So I went back to church work and served Him in the youth ministry. And after 10 years, right, there was a period where I thought that that season of my church work is coming to an end. And I started even to look into other avenues to work in, you know, in the marketplace and consider moving on. But yet God continued to make it clear of His will for my life and His calling to be a pastor. So His gracious reminders and guidance bring clarity of His will, you know, in my faith journey. And 2013 marks the return of my own return to His will to continue the journey in church ministry. So pursuing God's work and kingdom work aligns our life to God's sovereign will. So when we are aligned, His promises are sure and becomes a faithful reality. So when we all put God's work in priority, His heart and His will first, His promises will become a reality in us. All right, so here you can see that beneath the floors of the building, we have a covenant to remember. Yeah, the whole building project lies upon God's continuing covenant with His people, beginning from Moses, being renewed with King David. So what are these covenantal promise of God? Here in the book of Haggai, He says, I am with you. I will bless you. I have chosen you. So in these two chapters, God spoke to the people there. Say, I am with you. Do not fear. You know, that's His assurance of His spiritual presence. I will bless you. You know, that the assignment, the work of rebuilding the temple will be there. It will be provided by His supernatural enablement. And I have chosen you. The alignment to God's sovereign election. So when we put God first, you know, when we put priority to God's work in our lives, His promises are sure and true, right? And then you will experience the reality of God's truth in Matthew 6:33, right? If you put God, if you seek His will and His kingdom, your needs will be taken care of, right? So, you know, I some of you know that my family is in Malaysia, my parent, my brother. And I shared in my previous message that God's faithfulness to my mom, to my dad, and today I'm going to share with you a little bit of my own relationship, my brother, my younger brother, right? And the area of my family in Malaysia is always a concern because I'm here and they are back in Malaysia, and there was a period where my younger brother was not working, right? He was not working. For whatever reason, but he was not working for not a few months, but a few years, you know, 2-3, you know, but in the end I feel that, hey, what is going on? So, and he's mixing around with people who doesn't work. So I was worried, and I thought I need to, you know, come to a point where I need to pack my bags, so I need to go back, you know, put everything aside, and go back and just find out how I can help my brother, what is wrong. Yeah, so, you know, as a only sibling, you know, if I'm not there for my brother, who will, right? And then someone is an elder brother. So at the same time, the church was planning to send me for some overseas training, which will take about 1 year. So at that point of time, my heart was burdened, right? And I remember that evening, I was worshiping God in my room, putting and pouring all this before God. And God asked me just two questions. Right? He said, Singen, have I disappointed you? So I say, no. And secondly, he said that it's your brother's problem too big for me. So I say, no. So with that, I committed my brother's situation to God. Yeah, and let God handle it. Yeah, so my brother has since regained his employment in that year, more than 10 years ago, and has been fully employed ever since. And even recently he wanted to change the environment, and God opened the door for him, and he just WhatsApped me recently. He said that, yeah, this is a good decision. It's a better environment, better management, even though it requires the usual hard work. So putting God's will on top of our will, you know, is a continuous journey of faith and a life of self-denial. Right? We have to trust God for our work, trust God for our families, and put His kingdom assignment first. You know, things may not happen according to what we expect and hope, you know, sometimes. But we can be assured that God is always at work. God is faithful in taking care of our greatest concern, especially for our loved ones. He's with us. He will bless us, and He has chosen us. And we are to walk in that dependent faith on His faithfulness. And more than that, God will use us and position us strategically as His witness, as a church in these last days, to the people, to the lost, to nations, and to the world. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, it says, "My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord. Yet once more, in a little while, I will shake heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." And these three things that just come from this passage that we need to be mindful of. The first is the coming of the day of the Lord. He will return. Right? The Zerubbabel temple was built in anticipation in the coming Messiah, because Zechariah prophesied this. Haggai also said that that will be the day, right? That will be the day that they will not see, but today we are experiencing it. We are seeing with our own physical eyes the promises of God. That Zechariah prophesied that there will be one who come and remove the iniquity of the land in one single day. He's prophesying about Christ. And today we are experiencing the saving grace and the saving provision of Jesus Christ. And we are walking in that covenant. And that is the first coming of Jesus Christ. And He came and He dealt with the Jews. He dealt with the people who is supposed to know Him. And then He came and opened up the door for the Gentiles to enter. But I believe that His work is not done yet. He will come again the second time. And this time, He will deal with the church, the stewards of the covenantal covenant of grace. And He's going to come and save the Jews. Because God's judgment always starts with His family, with His household. And that's fair, because He has to first check whether those people who is carrying His good news are doing their work rightly, are representing Him rightly. So that's the coming dealings of the Lord. He will judge. And we need to consider this carefully as we walk in faith, as we walk with Him. Because there is a day of accounting. There's a day of accountability. And on that day, all our pretenses will be stripped away, our foolishness exposed, and our stewardship examined. Right? We cannot afford to play church. We cannot just continue just coming on Sunday, sing songs, attend cell groups. You know, well, that is the expression of it, the form of it. But the substance of it is our daily life, walking faithfully with Him, our hearts rightly worshipping Him. Because everything on that day, everything will be laid open. And that really brings some sober, very sobering moments to me every time I think of it. And that's the coming of harvest of the Lord. He will save. He said that, "I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." The treasures of nations are actually people from every tribe and every tongue. And God's most prized possessions are people reconciled and reunited with Him. We have a community to reach. And God is using all of us to be His Bible, you know, and His witnesses. You know, the original word to build in Zechariah 1:16 is bana. You know, my house will be rebuilt. That build, the word is bana. And that it means to build, construct, found, set up. It's also to obtain children, to build a family. And it's thought that bana is the root word of ban or and banim. And it suggests that, you know, the building blocks of future generations are the children. So God is in the business of building His family. And when He says building His house, means He's building His family, His children, the people. Right? And he doesn't want grandchildren. He wants children, right? New children to His kingdom. People, new believers. Right? He desires to inhabit into His new temples, new sanctuaries. He longs for more souls and people to enter His kingdom. I remember Pastor Joseph Yu, he shared about his crown of humility when people say that, you know, hey, you are a national badminton player. Right? You know that I am a school player also, badminton school player. Nobody knows, right? Because I don't dare to say. Yeah. You know, because we have I play one time in a competitively, right, against our arch rival ACJC. And I remember when I scored the first point, I saw my captain jumping up from his seat and saying, you know. But that's the only point that we have scored. And we lost 15-1, 15-0, and make history for our school. Yeah, so that's why nobody knows that I'm a school player. Yeah. And despite of that, I still keep in touch and play badminton, right? It's enjoyable. And recently, some of my badminton mates have asked about God, you know, they asked about heaven. So we have to be ready, right? The word says, be ready to be witnesses, to be ready to share about the hope, you know, of the reason for your hope, the reason for your faith. And recently also, I also had a very interesting encounter, and God really got my attention during my taxi rides. And you know that because my cell groups are always in the Bukit Timah and Bukit Batok, and my home is in Sengkang, so I always end up taking taxi back at night. So it happened on a Friday night, and after a cell visitation, I sent one of the lay leader off, and before redirecting the cab back to Sengkang. And suddenly this elderly, friendly taxi driver suddenly engaged in a conversation with me. So okay, you know, just talk. And after that, he suddenly asked me, are you a pastor? You know? So, when you are winding down at the end of the day, suddenly people ask you this kind of question, you feel that, you suddenly have to be on alert and attention. And so I asked him back, are you a Buddhist? You know, so he replied, I have something to confess. So I said, something to confess? I'm not a Catholic priest, you don't confess anything to me, you know, it's quite late. But he said that actually he's a free thinker. Right? He's a free thinker in the guise of a Buddhist. So he said that, it means that, I've got something to do, I have to work. Yeah, but at the end of the day, we talk until we reach at the doorstep of my home. So I pray for him. Yeah, I pray for him and ask God to reveal to himself to him and pray for his salvation. So the door opens, you know, unexpectedly. And 30 hours later, at this time I was in the morning, you know, was rushing for Sunday service and I have a breakfast appointment. So I pressed just grab, you know, put Commonwealth Avenue MRT station as my destination. And everything go on as usual until the cab driver turned around and said, are you going to the church? So I say, another one. Looks like, just too nice. The night again, ask me this kind of question. So I say, oh my, here we go again, man. So he keeps asking about church. He want to ask about different between denomination. He talk about, ask about Pastor Kong Hee. So in the end, I pray for him, at Commonwealth MRT station just before I alight. So when you least expect it, the windows open, and when you are ready to unwind after a tired day, or you're still blur, trying to wake up, God shows up and have an assignment for you. Right? And so divine opportunities are knocking, can knock at our doors when we least expect it. And when we come with expectant faith to know that we are ready to share for God's love, of God's hope, our hope in God, God will use us. Right? So how do we partner God in this season that I believe Kuz is entering in? First and foremost, so make room for God's desire in your heart. Right? And I believe that God wants to put His vision for the lost into our hearts. It's not just some distant mandate that God has called His church, but God wants to work and use you. And not just as robots or mindless workers, but people with compassion. Jesus, He saw the crowd and he felt compassion for them. And He saw that people without shepherds. God can give you His heart for the lost. And you have to be open and ask God for that. Yeah, and God, so make room for God's desire in your heart. Secondly, make space for God's promises in your faith. Right? We have a covenant to remember. When we do God's work, when we share, when we step up and share our reason for our hope, God will back us up. Right? God will help us. God will give us the words to say. God will give us the courage. God will give us the grace. God will give us the wisdom to respond. Right? But we have to start first with offering ourselves, being willing to be His vessels. Because sometimes when we talk about evangelism, a lot of times people say, nope, I can't do it. I don't have this, I don't have that. I don't know how to speak well, all that stuff, da 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 da. Moses say, I don't know how to speak. Right? God say, I make your mouth, I make your tongue. So God can come to that very personal engagement with us so that we can be willing and take ownership of that call and that vision that He has for the church. So make space for God's promises. Do not limit God with our faith or with our thoughts or with our experiences. And lastly, make preparation for God's family in your schedule. Right? This is a practical outworking. Prioritize your schedule to prepare for God's new addition to the family. Right? Receiving God's harvest requires a lot of prayers, a lot of work. Right? And when there's a newborn in the family, everyone is involved. Right? One person clear the diapers, another person play peekaboo. You know why I know? Because I'm a 9-month-old father. Right? It's a journey of gratitude and thanksgiving. And yet it's also an unpredictable adventure filled with challenges along its path. And one of the adjustments that I have to make is that I realize that I'm no longer married to a wife. I'm married to a mother. Right? The dynamics of our marriage change. Right? Because instead of supporting and looking for one another, our attention is on the little one. So our personal needs are now pushed into the background, and we worry over whether our daughter has enough sleep, enough feed, enough this and that. And with all this, when we come to our conflicts or disagreement, it moves to another level. Right? Our escalation of emotions hit new territories. So at one point, it really scared the hell out of me, or scared the heaven out of me. Right? I did not know that stretching and adjustment can reach these levels. And we were happily growing up together as a couple, and suddenly I realized, I felt that, we don't really understand each other anymore. But thank God for friends, you know, thank God for the support, the communities from the church. Thank God we caught up with Anna's growth and changes, and it becomes a little bit more predictable. And by His grace, we just celebrated his 9-month birthday. You know, I know parents out there will say, "Ah, yeah, you're just getting started, lah." You know, and others will say, "Enjoy each stage of Anna's growth." You know, while still others will poke in and say, suddenly representing the government, "How about the second one?" And I want to say, "You take care, lah." Yeah. So I believe God, I believe Kuz is entering into a season of reaching out, a season of birthing, if I would put it. You know, we are in a season of batna, building God's house, building His family, right? And we should not take it lightly, but prepare, get engaged, seek the Lord. What is your role to play? We as one big family, we all have a role to play. You know, some of us will be like Billy Graham, right? Or something like that. Some of us will be supporting from behind. Right, I know of a church member, you know, he's doing handicraft. He's using his hands to raise funds for the church so that he can put this, all that he received, the money to, into the outreach activities and events. So all of us can play a part. And I believe God is engaging us as a church in his relentless building project. Yeah, he desires for us to participate in his joy of welcoming new people into his kingdom, right? And the blessing of what it means to be new spiritual parents. It's a season of spiritual renewal. It's a season of spiritual birthing. And Pastor defined Alpha rightly. You know, we are going to launch into the season of Alpha outreach, second half of this year. He said that Alpha is about encountering God, encountering the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a spiritual work. You know, there will be joy, it can be messy at times, but challenges will come. But we adjust by God's grace and God will help us. Yet we know that when we put His priority first, He will take care of the rest. So God's will, done in God's way, will never lack His provision. So it's exciting to depend, to be dependent, to walk in that dependent faith on God. And experience God's intervention into situation. You know, while we are stretched, you know, we can experience God's grace in changing things and helping us to continue in this work. So have faith and participate in this new season that Kuz is entering in. So do not settle to be a spectator, you know, and clap very loudly, right? But be engaged in God's relentless building project. Take up that Zerubbabel assignment and make room, make space, and make preparation, and fulfill that God's vision for the church, and bring God's glory, bring His glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I'd like to you guys to respond. You know, as I invite the worship team back. Let's pray, right? You know, taking up this assignment is no other assignment. It's not like other assignment. Right? It's really when we put His will above our will, we need His grace. It's not so simple as doing that. It cannot happen overnight. But we need His grace, and He will give us grace, right? It's when we allow His priority to supersede ours, right? Sometimes it can be stretching. And for others, it can, like, coming out from our comfort zone. And for some, it's like walking on water, right? But today, if you want to respond, if that's your desire, if you know that sometimes you will struggle or face challenges, I would like you to come forward, right? I would like you to come forward and respond to God in faith and say that, yes, I want to be your witness. I want to be your ambassador. Help me, Lord. Prepare me. Give me grace. I know that I have inadequacies. I know that, you know, sometimes I don't know how to say properly. I don't know respond properly when the windows open. But Lord, help me. Right? So today, I want to invite you to be part of God's team, to be His witness. Let's stand. Let's worship the Lord, yeah? And as part of, as we worship as a congregation, and those of you who want to take that step forward, please do. And we can, I will pray at the end for all of us.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say,
spectators in our midst. Everyone responding to the Lord, whether you are up front, whether you are there behind, let's respond to the Lord. Let's do business with Him. Right? This message is for all of us.
Yes.
All of us are called Christians. We represent Christ. And everywhere we go, people are looking at us. People are looking at our lives. And we are His ambassadors. And whether you like it or not, that you cannot hide. All of us are a lamp, a light on the hill that people can see. It's either whether your light is shining or your light is not shining. But God give us grace to shine. So Lord, help us all. Let us worship the Lord. Let us respond, each one of us here. Let no be slow spectator, because God will deal with the church for the stewardship and the representation. Give us grace. And we are living under His grace. Let's respond to the Lord for His grace, that we can be the right witnesses. Let's pray. Father, we commit ourselves to You. Lord, help us, Lord, in our families, love loved ones. Lord, you are able, Father. Lord, through strained relationships, through difficult circumstances, Lord, we are looking to you, Father. Grant us your patience. Grant us your heart to see your people through your eyes, through your lenses. Grant us your heart, Lord. Give us your heart. Lord, you are able, Lord. So we ask for that. Help us to make room for your desires in our hearts. Help us to believe you for the impossible. And sometimes we think that it's not possible for this guy to be saved. Lord, help us to renounce our unbelief. Lord, help us to not limit you, but to give you that space in our faith for the impossible. So Lord, as we responded to you, those who are here, Lord, I pray that Lord, you will change, you will deal and give us a new heart. Lord, give us that heart for the lost. When we see them, Lord, we can see your heart beating for them. And help us, Lord, to respond accordingly and to win them for your kingdom. So Lord, grant us that grace. Help us to be your worthy witnesses to represent you rightly. Lord, help us to give glory, Lord, to what you have given to us, Jesus Christ, and that he's living in us, dwelling in us, and help us to share that with the rest of those who need you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.